Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
I did an hour and 15 minute interview with Adam Taggart of Thoughtful Money a few days ago, and it's going to be aired on Sunday. So for this podcast, I thought I'd give you a Reader's Digest version of what we talked about and give you a nice preview of what you can expect for the totality of that interview. Again, that's coming out this Sunday. We started talking about the economy and markets and how they're a thinly veiled facade of prosperity, masking an unstable and dangerous foundation underneath. And let's just look at the economy first off. The top quintile, the top 20%, are holding up the entire economy. The bottom 80%, the bottom four quintiles, have been wiped out by inflation already. They do not need inflation to go up by 2%. They need inflation to go down, or they need it to stay at zero for many years for their incomes to catch up. But they do not need inflation to rise at 2%, and they certainly don't need it to rise higher than 2% and have the Fed start cutting rates, which is what I think is going to happen. And if you look at the markets, there's a handful of stocks boosting the S&P 500. I mean, NVIDIA is up 150% this year. 150%. And if your portfolio is 150% NVIDIA, congratulations. But poor you when things change, and they will. You're going to lose your entire, or virtually a very big, 75, 80% of your portfolio when things change, and they will. NVIDIA is the Cisco of 2000. NVIDIA today is the Cisco of the year 2000, when it lost 80% of its value. So if you look at the equal weight S&P 500, which includes NVIDIA, it is up 4% year to date. That's it, just 4%. And the equal weight S&P 500 is unchanged since 2022, since the start of 2022. The Russell 2000 is unchanged on the year to date, and it's down 10% since 2022. So like I said, the market is being held up by a handful of tech stocks, but has done pretty much nothing in the past 2+ years. And if you look at the wide swath of the market, the Russell 2000, down 10%, long duration bonds down 40%, equal weight S&P 500 has gone nowhere since the start of 2022. So, here's the reason why I say the economy is a facade, a thinly veiled facade. It's going to crash. The market is going to crash. But we're not short the market. We participated in the upside in this market, not NVIDIA returns, as my clients are aware. And we're more or less in line, we're beating the equal weight S&P 500 over the past, few years. But, nothing wonderful. But here's why you're with me if you're a client of mine. Because you can participate in the upside with safety. But when the recession comes and reality hits the fan, and it is coming, you're not only going to hope to protect your money, you're going to try to profit from, I think, it still is a massive downside in the market. And I don't think the Fed's going to be able to stop it, and I'll explain that a little later. So how did we get here? We had a positive, real Fed funds rate. So the Fed funds rate minus inflation was positive, that subtraction, from 1980 to 2002. That's the normal state of affairs, to have a positive Fed funds rate after inflation. 1980 to 2002. That's 22 years. It's the normal course of business. The cost of borrowing money should always be more than the rate of inflation. Otherwise, why would anybody put their money in the bank? And if you don't save money, there's nothing available for investment. So if people aren't incentivized to save, and negative real interest rates discourage savings, then there's nothing available for investment. And without investment, there's no way to increase productivity. This is how you grow an economy, a real economy. However, in contrast, due to central bank interest rate interventions, we have had 85% of the time from 2002 all the way to 2023, 21 years of negative Fed funds rate in real terms. Digest, ruminate on that for a minute. 21 years of a negative Fed funds rate in real terms. And the cost of money, which is what we're talking about here, is the most important signal in an economy. It's the most important signal in a real free market economy. Negative real rates mean you get paid when you borrow money. Therefore, you can buy, just go out and buy real estate, buildings, stocks, commodities that tend to increase around the rate of inflation, which is higher than the cost of the funds that you borrowed. And the result of that is a huge increase in debt and also a humongous run-up in asset prices. We now have massive bubbles in real estate, equities, and credit all existing concurrently for the first time in history. Let's just talk briefly about the real estate bubble. The home price-to-income ratio is 5.5. Pre the global financial crisis, it was 5. So it's higher than it was, not home prices higher. They're much higher than they were in 2007. But even in relation to incomes, they're much higher than they were in 2007. Just for reference, in 2000, this ratio was 2.8. Now it's 5.5. Buying a home is 50% more expensive than just being a renter. The previous peak was 33% more expensive just prior to the global financial crisis in 2007, 2008. And a quarter of single family homes, one quarter of them, 25%, are owned by investors. Let's talk about the credit bubble, its record size, and the record price distortions that are in there. The subprime mortgage market was $1.3 trillion, just $1.3 trillion. Remember when Bernanke said the subprime mortgage market isn't important and it wouldn't affect housing prices? Well, that $1.3 trillion in subprime mortgages not only brought down the housing market, they brought down the entire financial system on the planet. So it was important. $1.3 trillion of people who could not afford to pay their mortgages once interest rates ticked up. Well, let's compare that $1.3 trillion with some of the bubbles in credit today. The size of the junk bond market is $1.5 trillion today. It was $500 billion in 2002. Leveraged loans, which are commercial bank loans to businesses that are highly leveraged, highly indebted, $1.4 trillion today, a 366% increase from the global financial crisis. Private credit is $1.7 trillion, up 1,600% from the global financial crisis. Private credit are shadow bank lending, not commercial banks, shadow bank lending to businesses that are highly leveraged, who cannot issue debt and who cannot borrow money from the bank. $1.7 trillion. So it's $1.7 trillion private credit, $1.4 trillion leveraged loans, $1.5 trillion of the junk bond market. Compared to that $1.3 trillion in subprime, that was the big distortion in 2007. The mortgage-backed security market was $7 trillion back in 2005. Today, it's $12 trillion. And global debt, let's just blow up the whole umbrella here. Let's see what we're looking at, in total. Global debt has soared to a record $307 trillion, rising by a staggering $100 trillion over the past 10 years, and now represents 340% of world GDP. Are there any malformations or deformations in the economy? Yes, there are, and they're huge. So the stock market valuation is incredible. Price to sales, 2.8. The median is 1.5. The total market cap of equities is now 195%. In 1929, it was 117%. Before the big crash leading up to the Great Depression. In 2007, it was 104%. Now it's 195%. The equity risk premium is negative. It's the lowest in 24 years. And households allocate 48% of their assets in stocks, the highest since the year 2000. Yes, it is very dangerous. And I'll tell you this. With all the deformations there are out there, the chances of a soft landing are practically zero. But let's look at some of the recession indicators that show me and should show you that the recession is still coming and the business cycle hasn't been repealed. The ISM services sector dropped into contractionary territory, and by the most in 4 years, the latest reading on ISM. GDP growth has fallen from 4.9% in Q3 of 2023 to 1.5% in the first half of 2024. Manufacturing in the economy, the ISM manufacturing survey contracted for 19 out of the past 20 months. The index of leading economic indicators is down 23 of the past 24 months. The yield curve spread is the longest inversion in history, and this is a near-perfect recession predictor since 1955. There's only been one exception when the yield curve inverted and there wasn't a recession. That was in 1965. But GDP growth fell from 10% to 0.2%. And like I said as a start of this broadcast, positive real Fed funds rate now for more than 12 months has always led to a recession. It's coming. Be patient and be well rewarded. The banking sector is not healthy. We have a huge problem in regional banks, which have 30% of their assets in commercial mortgage-backed securities. Landlords have restructured more than 10% of all CMBS. That's a record percentage and higher than the 2008 financial crisis. Banks' assets are earning less than their current cost of funds, and new loans are higher. They're better. They're higher yielded, higher yielding, but they're not making many of them. And now their assets are eroding in value. The labor market is weakening. It looks good on the surface, just like the stock market and the economy, but it's rotten underneath. There have been upside beats on the headline non-farm payroll report for a very long time, but all the revisions are to the downside, and they're huge. The unemployment rate went up to 4.1%. It's the highest unemployment rate since October of 2021. 70,000 of the jobs created in the last month were from government jobs. Continuing jobless claims rose by 26,000 to 1.86 million last week. That's the highest since late 2021. The four-week moving average of these claims is the highest since September of 23. There's only part-time jobs being created. Full-time jobs are contracting. The establishment survey has showed 1.8% year-over-year growth in jobs. The household survey has showed just 0.2% year-over-year job growth, almost nothing. The economy is weakening and the recession is coming. The business cycle has not been eliminated. And there is no easy escape from the next recession because treasury rates could soar in the next recession instead of going down like they have in every other period of Fed intervention. And I'll tell you why. There's a record $9 trillion of U.S. debt maturing in the next 12 months, plus $2 trillion deficit. That totals $11 trillion of debt issuance that must find a home at higher rates this year. But don't forget, we have a $2 trillion, part of that $2 trillion deficit is $1 trillion in interest payments. We have a $35 trillion national debt, and the debt as a percentage of GDP has never been higher. That's the starting point. That's the kickoff point. Now, there are those who poo-poo those of us who warn of the consequences of our massive debt bubble. In fact, Steve Eisman, he's a very smart guy. He's the one who shorted CDOs back in 2008. He makes fun of those of us who warned about the deficit, saying that we're part of the oi the deficit crowd. Eisman says that since the U.S. bond market is the deepest and most liquid on the planet Earth, and since the U.S. dollar is the world's reserve currency, that interest rates can't really go higher. But I hasten to interject and disagree with Steve Eisman, but we had the world's reserve currency in 1980, and we had the most liquid bond market on Earth in 1980, but the 10-year note still hit 15%. Because what Treasury notes are concerned of are concerned about on the long end of the yield curve, where the Fed doesn't really have that much control over, are credit risks and inflation risks. That's the equation to equal what interest rates are. What's your credit risk? What's your inflation risk? The next recession should bring deficits that are $6 trillion. This means there will be unprecedented money printing, because there's no way you could issue $6 trillion to the private sector and have them buy it all. No way. Not from the starting point that we have of insolvency today and the fact that inflation has already wiped out the middle class. So the Fed's going to be printing money like mad. This is a new phenomenon, being insolvent and having inflation being the salient issues going into a recession. So a return to QE and ZERP should bring interest rates down in the money markets. I mean, the overnight interbank lending rate. I mean, this is how the Fed usually rescues the economy in the past. They print up a bunch of money and they bring down rates on the short end of the curve, and the long end of the curve follows down somewhat, at least for a while. However, credit risks will soar along with inflation rates if the Fed uses the same playbook to reliquify the banking system and get asset prices to stop falling. Hence, the long end of the yield curve could spike higher, could and should spike higher instead of falling. In fact, rates could see double digits after the next reflexive Pavlovian response from Wall Street to buy long-term debt. And this would not allow for the usual economic healing to occur. It would instead exacerbate the outstanding debt burden and push asset prices even lower. Higher interest rates, harder to service the outstanding debt, asset prices plunge, and without getting those asset prices to rise, like without getting home prices to bounce, without getting stock prices to bounce, and without putting a lower coupon rate on your bonds that you have outstanding, there is no salve. There is no healing for the economy. We could move from sector one, which is where we would be initially after the recession ensues, which is deflation and depression, to sector five, intractable inflation, rather quickly. And you better know what to do in that situation, because you can't just short stocks, because that's not going to work. Inflation is very good for stocks in nominal terms, but certain stocks, not bonds, not bond proxies. We're talking about energy and base metals, shorting the bond market, precious metals. The bottom line here is that there is no economic nirvana coming. Chaos is coming to the markets and the economy. There is a big opportunity to separate active inflation-deflation management, the kind that I invented, the kind that I do, from the buy-and-hold crowd that's going to be left holding the bag once again.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.